From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voanews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian field hospital in Turkey treats 1,000 quake victims. Indonesia progressed in digital infrastructure development. Now the news in detail. Indonesian emergency medical team's field hospital in Hassa City, Hatay Province, Turkey has served almost 2,000 quake-affected residents as of the ninth day of its operation. According to a statement received from the Indonesian Embassy in Ankara on Saturday, the team started operating the field hospital on February the 15th. Although the hospital has set operational hours, it is still providing services to patients arriving outside the operational hours. It is allowing people from remote location on those engaged in emergency response activities during the day to also get health services. In addition to carrying out medical treatment at the field hospital, the team is providing mobile health services to residents of surrounding villages. The Indonesian Emergency Medical Team's field hospital is one of the 9 hospitals being operated by various countries in Hatay Province, the area that was most affected by the 7.8 magnitude earthquake on February the 6th. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati affirmed that Indonesia has clocked significant progress in digital infrastructure development to expand reliable and affordable internet access across the country, especially in remote areas. Hence, this year, the government targets the development of 300 new base transceiver station towers and the provision of internet access at more than 9,700 locations nationwide. The minister was speaking at the high-level symposium on digital public infrastructure, a G20 site event organized under India's presidency. She highlighted that the mobile phone penetration rate in Indonesia had reached 77% of the total population, while 59% of Indonesia's population already had a social media presence. The Indonesian government has currently set its sights on developing various digital services for the people, including e-government and e-taxation ecosystem and the National Social Security Agency system. The Indonesian Ministry of Trade is encouraging micros, small and medium enterprises players to develop their businesses and target exports to non-traditional countries. Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan stated at the Legendary Brand Festival event in Jakarta on Saturday that exports in American and European countries are currently slowing down due to the geopolitical conditions and the threat of global recession. Nevertheless, non-traditional countries such as those in the South Asian region like Bangladesh, Pakistan, and India have huge trade potential for business players in Indonesia. Apart from South Asian countries, African and Middle Eastern countries also have the potential to become trade partners. Zulkifli Hasan remarked that the total population of those non-traditional countries reached almost 3.5 billion thereby opening up vast opportunities for Indonesia's local products. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. French President Emmanuel Macron said on Saturday he would visit China in April and urged Beijing to pressure Russia to end the war in Ukraine. China has sought to position itself as neutral party on the conflict, even as it has maintained close ties with Russia and helped scuttle a joint statement condemning the war at a G20 gathering in India. It published a 12-point position paper on Friday that called for urgent peace talks and a political settlement to end the conflict. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Friday also expressed hopes to meet China's counterpart Xi Jinping, calling it important for world security. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is heading to Central Asia, hoping that greater U.S. engagement will reassure former Soviet republics rattled by the Ukraine war, although Russia's historic clout limits the extent of cooperation. Days after the anniversary of the Ukraine invasion, the top U.S. diplomat will hold talks on Tuesday, February the 28th, in Kazakhstan and then Uzbekistan, and meet jointly with foreign ministers of all five ex-Soviet Central Asian states in Kazakhstan's capital, Astana. Donald Liu, the top U.S. diplomat for South and Central Asia, said the United States was realistic that the five nations were not going to end their relationships with Russia or their other giant neighbors, China, which has been boosting its own presence. Turkey has begun work to rebuild homes following this month's devastating earthquakes, as the combined death toll in Turkey and Syria surpassed 50,000. Over 160,000 buildings containing 520,000 apartments collapsed or were severely damaged in the February the 6th earthquakes that killed tens of thousands in Turkey and Syria. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has pledged to rebuild homes within a year, although experts have said the authorities should put safety before speed. Some buildings that were meant to withstand tremors crumbled in the latest earthquakes. Last item. A magnitude 6.1 earthquake struck off Hokkaido in northern Japan on Saturday night, February the 25th. The U.S. Geological Survey and the Japan Meteorological Agency said no tsunami warning was issued after the offshore quake, which shook the coastal cities of Kushiro and Nemuro. There were no immediate reports of injuries or damage. The quake hit at 10:27 p.m. local time at a depth of around 43 kilometers. In two municipalities in Hokkaido, the quake registered as lower 5 on Japan's 7-point intensity scale, which measures ground motion. That is usually a level where items fall out of shelves and unsecured furniture may move, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. An expert speaking on public broadcaster NHK warned residents to be vigilant against quakes for about a week. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on Chinese foreign minister visit strengthens bilateral cooperation with Indonesia. Chinese foreign minister Qin Kang visited Indonesia from February the 21st to 23rd. This was Qin Kang's first visit to the region. In Indonesia, the Chinese minister was received by President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, who also accompanied the President in the meeting, said President Joko Widodo conveyed the importance of increasing mutually beneficial economic cooperation between Indonesia and China. Apart from that, President Joko Widodo also discussed several strategic partnerships that need to be increased together, including the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train project, the construction of the Green Industrial Park in Kalimantan, the development of the new national capital Nusantara, to the downstream industry, which the Indonesian government is currently intensifying. President Joko Widodo also stressed the importance of Indonesia and China in taking on the role of peace and stability drivers in the region. After meeting President Joko Widodo, Chinese Foreign Minister Qin Kang, together with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, chaired the 4th Indonesia-China Joint Commission for Bilateral Cooperation. On the occasion, Indonesia emphasized a number of important points in bilateral cooperation between the two countries, namely the importance of strengthening trade, investment, and health cooperations, also relations between communities. Meanwhile, Foreign Minister Qin Kang said Indonesia and China have aligned the development strategies of the two countries. According to him, the two countries continue to deepen the new pattern of four-wheel drive cooperation, namely the political, economic, humanities, and maritime fields, so as to promote the Chinese-Indonesian community substantively. In addition, according to him, Indonesia-China will deepen strategic synergies, accelerate the construction of the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train and other flagship projects from the Belt and Road Initiative and ensure their inauguration is on schedule. Further, Qin Kang said Indonesia and China will also continue to promote the development of key projects, including the Regional Comprehensive Economic Corridor and the two countries' twin parks. The two countries, according to Qin Kang, also continue to encourage cooperation in the ASEAN Outlook on the Indo-Pacific, together with ASEAN countries or the Association of Southeast Asian Countries. He said Indonesia and China will fully and effectively implement the Declaration on the Conduct of Parties in the South China Sea, accelerate the negotiations of the Code of Conduct in the South China Sea, and jointly safeguard peace and stability there. That was this week's Spotlight. Let's start today in history with February 26, 1992, Khojaly City Massacre ends. The Khojaly Massacre was the killing of large numbers of ethnic Azerbaijans in the city of Khojaly on February 25 and 26, 1992, during the Nagorno-Karabakh War. The war was an armed conflict that took place in Nagorno-Karabakh, southwest Azerbaijan, from February 1988 to May 1994 between ethnic Armenians in Nagorno-Karabakh against Azerbaijan. The war was the most devastating ethnic conflict since the fall of the Soviet Union in December 1991. According to Azerbaijan Human Rights Watch and other international observers, the massacre were perpetrated by the Armenian armed forces and resulted in the deaths of 613 civilians, with 106 women and 83 children. Turning to February 26, 1993, the World Trade Center bombing. On February 26, 1993, there was a terrorist attack on the World Trade Center, New York, USA. A truck bomb exploded under the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City, containing 606 kilograms of urea nitrate hydrogen gas aimed to destroy the North Tower, or Tower 1, and the South Tower, or Tower 2, targeting tens of thousands of people. This bomb killed 6 people and injured more than 1,000. Today in history with February 26, 2013, hot air balloon crash in Luxor. The 2013 Luxor hot air balloon accident occurred when a hot air balloon crashed over Luxor, Egypt on February 26, 2013 at 7 a.m. local time. The accident resulted in 19 people died, 18 died on the spot, and another person died in hospital an hour later. This is the deadliest hot air balloon accident in history, surpassing the 1989 Alice Springs hot air balloon crash in the Northern Territory, Australia. That was today in history.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply an email from Kalab Abbas in Pakistan. He was monitoring our broadcast in Indonesian of the Indonesia Hari Ini program through website voinews.id at 10 to 10:57 a.m. both in audio live streaming and video live streaming. Hello, Mr. Abbas. Thank you so much for your reception report and also your compliment. As Indonesian, we also broadcast live Indonesia today at 3 to 5 p.m. or 10 to 12 p.m. UTC. So I'm waiting your reception report on our English programs. As appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Here is the song.
Kamu itu indah dalam hidupku. Kamu dalam ruangku dan kau bagian dan seluruh relung hati aku. Ku ingat hari Minggu kita berdua. Hidupmu aku. kita terpisah hingga akhir waktu. Kamu, aku, selamanya takkan terpisah, takkan terpisah. Kita berdua saat aku akan katakan cinta ini anugerah dari Tuhan takdir hidupmu aku kamu aku.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is Indonesia becomes the world sporting events organizer. The Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy of Indonesia, Sandiaga Uno, assessed that Sportel Rendezvous in Bali 2023 is proof that Indonesia, especially Bali, is starting to be looked at as location for world-class sporting events. This is proven by the holding of Sportel Rendezvous 2023 in Bali, where one of the focuses is to bring together sport industry players in Europe and America with business community in Asia. Minister Sandiaga Uno, after being the keynote speaker on the first day of Sportel Rendezvous Bali in Nusa Dua, Bali, said that the holding of Sportel for the first time in Indonesia shows that Indonesia has become a country of interest as the main venue for world sporting events and exhibitions. The latest technology that makes it easier for spectators to enjoy sport matches from within the country. He also appreciated the Sportels for holding its annual event in Indonesia, especially after being absent for 4 years due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Not only an event for business meetings, Sportel Rendezvous Bali 2023 also held a series of panel discussions and conferences which presented practitioners and experts as speakers. Some of the speakers included practitioner from FIFA, Serie A, Bundesliga, Dona Sports, Fox Sports, Monaco Esports Federation. On the sidelines of the event, the organizers also held golf and esports tournaments that participants could take part in. Sportel is an institution based in Monaco, which for 30 years has provided a platform for industry players in the sports sector. It includes broadcasting of sports competitions, as well as world sports technology, to network and establish business cooperation. The Sportel Rendezvous Bali 2023 was attended by more than 400 sports participants and business people from Europe, Asia, and American continents. That was my Indonesia today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to an email from Muhammad Akil Bashir, also in Pakistan. He was listening to English programs at 1 to 2 p.m. UTC. Hello, sir. Thank you for always sending your reception report. Please keep listening to Voice of Indonesia and send your reception report. Thank you for a beautiful song for you. I've got to play this, so enjoy.
Diam-diam aku jatuh cinta kepadamu. Ku bosan sudah ku menyimpan rasa kepadamu, tapi tak mampu ku berkata di depanmu. Aku tak mudah mencintai, tak mudah bilang cinta. Tapi mengapa kini denganmu aku jatuh cinta? Tuhan tolong dengarkanku, beri aku dia. Tapi jika belum jodoh, aku bisa apa? Bosan sudah ku menyimpan rasa kepadamu, tapi tak mampu ku berkata di depanmu. Aku tak mudah mencintai, tak mudah bilang cinta. Tapi mengapa kini denganmu aku jatuh cinta? Tuhan tolong dengarkanku, beri aku dia. Tapi jika belum jodoh, aku bisa apa? Tak bisa ku paksakan dirimu untuk jadi kekasihku. Bila tak jodohku, aku tak mudah mencintai. Tapi mengapa denganmu aku jatuh cinta? Tapi mengapa kini denganmu aku jatuh cinta? Tuhan tolong dengarkanku, beri aku dia. Tapi jika belum jodoh, aku bisa apa? Aku bisa apa?
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we'll present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
When visiting Magelang, Central Java, don't forget to taste a variety of culinary specialties in the area. One of the most popular traditional culinary delights in Java is buntil lumbu or taro leaf buntil. If in general buntil in Java, especially Central Java, uses papaya leaves, then in Magelang, buntil is wrapped using taro leaves as a wrapper for the filling. Japanese, buntil means a bundle that is untied or may also tied up. There are several types of buntils that are known, especially in Japanese society, according to the wrapper, such as papaya leaf, taro leaf, and cassava leaf buntils. In Magelang, it's not difficult to find a buntil seller because it's very popular and usually sold in rice stalls and street food vendors. Meanwhile, besides delicious, the price is very affordable, even for the low-income people. Buntil fillings are usually grated coconut, shrimp, and petai seeds. And then taro leaf buntils that are ready to eat are usually served with coconut milk sauce containing chilies and other spices so that it creates a reddish color and tastes deliciously savory. For those of you who want to try to make this buntil, the ingredients needed are very simple and easy to find everywhere in Indonesia, especially Central Java, such as taro leaves as the wrapper, and then meanwhile, the filling is grated young coconuts, anchovies, sliced meat, or shrimp according to taste, and beside that, there are shallots, garlic, red chili, and kencur or aromatic ginger mashed together. Add with a sprinkle of salt and sugar to taste. The processing is also very easy. The taro leaves are washed and then boiled and salted until half cooked. Mix all the ingredients for the filling and cook until all the flavors are evenly distributed. Once cooked, take a piece of taro leaf, fill it with the stuffing, and then roll it up to wrap it. When serving it, you can sprinkle it with coconut milk, which has been cooked with a concoction of spices. And this buntil dish can also be eaten with side dishes such as pindang fish, long bean salad, and onion sambal condiment. That was Indonesian Wonder today. We will meet again tomorrow with different topic.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I will read an email from Rahman Ranju in Bangladesh. Hello Mr. Ranju, thank you for your email. You can listen to our broadcast through frequencies of 3325 and 4750 kHz or website voinews.id. Well, listening wherever you are, before I sign out from the Listener's Mailbag, I will play a beautiful song for you, so enjoy!
Hey, 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 hey. Ku berlari, kau mengejar. Ku menghindar, kau dekati. Kau menghilang, ku mencari. Mengerti mengapa bayangmu di hatiku. Bilang saja jika kau mau, aku juga mau padamu. Kita tak perlu rasa bersalah karena mencari suasana hati. Beberapa kali bertemu, kau curi mata, hati bicara. Kau tunggu apa lagi? Kau mengisi hariku yang kosong, dan kau beri cinta yang tak bohong. Kau seseorang yang aku cari. Kejar aku ku lagi sampai kau miliki. Jika kau mau, aku juga mau padamu. Kita tak perlu rasa bersalah karena mencari suasana hati. Beberapa kali bertemu, kau curi mata, hati bicara. Kau tunggu apa lagi? Dan kau beri cinta yang tak bohong. Kau seseorang yang aku cari. Kejar aku lagi sampai kau miliki. Kau mengisi hariku yang kosong. Kau seseorang yang aku cari. Kejar aku lagi sampai kau miliki. Kejar aku lagi sampai kau miliki.
That was the third song of the day from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present you Miscellany.
Five students from Bengkulu City One Public Senior High School created flavonoids, often said as anti-cancer candy, from three types of wheats that are easy to find in Indonesia, namely teki grass, pear grass, and ketapang leaves. From the invention, the students won a gold medal in the 2023 Global Youth Invention and Innovation Fair on the IPB University campus last January. The international event was attended by 227 teams from 17 countries. Muhammad, the head of the scientific writing team of the school in Bengkulu, said that the initial idea for making flavonoids, often said as anti-cancer candy, was because the number of cancer cases in Indonesia was quite high. Muhammad explained that before selecting the three types of wheats, he and four of his friends conducted research and trials on dozens of types of wheats in school and pharmacy laboratories. From the results of these studies, it turns out that teki grass, pear grass, and ketapang leaves contain flavonoids which are useful for counteracting free radicals and preventing cancer. The manufacturing process is the same as candy making using sugar and water, but wheats are the main ingredient. Meanwhile, the supervisor of scientific writing of the school, Shailendra Putra, said that the discovery of this kind of candy was the first time in Bengkulu province. Therefore, they registered it with intellectual property rights and took care of licensing at the Ministry of Health. That was Miscellany today.
Sedikit pekat saja akan kehadiranku. Ku bukan angin lalu, ku juga bisa jenuh. Ku tak tahu maumu, walau sering bertemu. Jangan hanya kau butuh, baru aja ketemu. Bagaimana cara buat kamu mengerti? Ini ada aku di sisimu. Ini hanya halusinasi. Memilikimu saat mimpi. Sampai kapan terus begini? Ku wanita punya hati. Kalau hati bisa memilih, ku ingin kau ada di sisi. Tapi ku takkan paksa diri, karena ku tahu diri. Sedikit bekas saja akan kehadiranku. Ku bukan angin laut, ku juga bisa jenuh. Ku tak tahu maumu, walau sering bertemu. Jangan hanya kau butuh, baru aja ketemu. Bagaimana cara buat kamu mengerti? Ini ada aku
di sisimu.
Ini hanya halusinasi. Memilikimu saat mimpi. Sampai kapan terus begini? Ku wanita punya hati. Kalau hati bisa memilih, ku ingin kau ada di sisi. Tapi ku takkan paksa diri, karena ku tahu diri. Kamu hanya halusinasi.
Hi VY listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents you a song from an Indonesian female singer, Miriam Eka. Miriam Eka, also known as Maria Eka, is a newcomer who was born in Yogyakarta in September 1997. Maria started her professional singing career after participating in the 2018 Rising Star Indonesia Singing Contest. She successfully stunned anyone who saw her, including Ariel Noah, one of the judges. On February 17, 2023, she released a new single entitled Menari. The song was first popularized by the music group Malik and the Essentials in 2010. Maria's version of Menari was composed by Widi Puradireja and produced by Kenny Gabriel. According to Maria, this song is suitable for those who are falling in love. Well, listener, this is Miriam Eka versions of the song Menari. Happy listening!
Menari-nari, kita terus menari meski hujan rintik turun. Mengalun-alun bersama alunan berpelukan, berbagi senyuman. Oh, melayang-layang kita terus melayang meski langit tanpa bintang. Mendayu-dayu suara daun
Of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kau boleh acuhkan diriku dan anggap ku tak ada. Tapi takkan merubah perasaanku kepadamu. Ku yakin pasti suatu saat semua akan terjadi. Kau akan mencintaiku dan tak akan pernah melepasku.
Aku mau cintai kekuatan. kau boleh jauhi diriku. Namun ku percaya kau kan mencintaiku dan tak akan pernah melepasku.
Thank you so much for listening to our English program from Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram at @VOI_official, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Rahma signing out from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.